If you've got your Bibles this evening, if you would go over with me to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. I don't take it lightly when a pastor allows me to stand behind their pulpit and preach the Word of God, so I appreciate Pastor for that. Do you have a favorite Bible verse or Bible passage, maybe a favorite chapter? I guess we could broaden it out to a book, you know, entirety. Like, well, I love Matthew, or I love the Psalms. My dad, growing up, he was a pastor. I was born when he was in Bible college. He was a pastor, or assistant pastor, a pastor, the whole time I knew him. And when you're a pastor's son, and your dad has a favorite or a life verse, you get to hear those verses all the time. I mean, all the time. And his two life verses are right here in Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5. I won't read them at this moment. And as a young boy, I knew these verses. I could quote these verses long before I could even tell you what they mean in my own mind. But as I got older, as I got married, became a father, and really started going back to study. It's interesting. When I was a youth pastor, I loved taking familiar passages of Scripture. You know, you hear Jonah and the whale all the time in Sunday school, growing up, you know, from a young tyke all the way up. When you get to, you know, to be in the adults class or even the teenage class, they start going away from some of the stuff that you've heard time and time again. And as you read, if you go back and read just for Jonah, for example, if you go back and through the read four chapters of Jonah, there's a lot more in there that wasn't covered in Sunday school in second grade. There's a lot more you can learn out of that. And so I loved going back to familiar passages and the best that I could to all the things that I knew or that I thought I knew or all the things that I was like, okay, you hear somebody go to preach out of Jonah, most Baptists that grew up in the church are like, oh man, I've heard all these. And so I tried to take a look from familiar passages of Scripture with a, if you want to say, a fresh set of eyes and a fresh heart with a fresh mind and say, Lord, I know a lot about it, but because it's your living word, I can read it 1,000 times and find 1,000 different things in there that I didn't know or that I needed to know. And so that's what I started doing with my youth group, was to go through the familiar passages. And in my own life, that's what I enjoy doing, as well as the other ones that I didn't know as well. But Psalm 37 was one of those that I could sit there and quote, no problem. As I became an adult, getting married and having children, I started to look at this more and more to say, okay, why did Dad love this verse so much, these verses so much? And it kind of almost coincided with when the Lord started working in my heart about South Africa. When the Lord first started working in our hearts, I didn't get, you know, a sign from heaven written in the sky or anything like that. It started out with just saying, you know what, there's a need. And to be honest, we were so happy and settled and content in Ohio, I couldn't even begin to tell you. We loved it. Loved working with the teens. We had bought a 100-year-old house. We were kind of restoring it little by little. We loved it. The school was growing. The church was growing. The youth group was doing well. I loved the place that I loved the people I worked with, worked for. And I'm like, growing up in ministry, if you were wanting to be in the ministry full time, it was like, if you want to say, it was a dream job for me. We were so happy. And then the Lord started putting these certain things in our hearts, and I'm like, oh God, you can't be serious. This can't be, you know, like, what, really? Hey, can I just be transparent tonight? And I'm not saying somebody in this room is being called to Africa and they're like not wanting to go. But can I be transparent in showing you how the Lord broke through my stubbornness some in my heart to say, this is what I need for you to do? And it all stemmed back to these verses. See, when my father's favorite verses 4 and 5 are this: delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. When I looked at verse 4, In my young mind, I would think, you know what, if I just, you know, do what the Lord wants me to do, everything will work out fine and my life will go swell. There's a little more to it. A little bit. When the Lord started working in my heart, I started reading this passage over and over and over. The entire chapter, I just dwelled here. And the Lord brought to mind three words out of this passage that I'm going to share with you tonight. Starting at verse 3, going to verse 5. Look at verse 3. The Bible says this, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." I'm going to make a statement tonight that everyone here has heard before. We need to trust in the Lord. No one in here has never heard that before, I don't think. When the Lord started working in my heart about South Africa, I told the Lord, "God, I can't go. I've got this going on, I've got this going on, I've got this going on. I just can't do it. Lord, I'm too busy." You ever tell God that? And I'm not going to lie, part of the time I was, and part of it I still am, I'm a little scared. I told my pastor in Ohio, I said, "Pastor Powell, I don't understand this." He said, "What?" I said, "I don't understand how we can be so excited about what the Lord's called us to do. Like, we couldn't be more excited. We're thrilled. We're anxious." I said, "But at the same time, as excited as we are terrified at the exact same time. That's a lot of change." And I told the Lord, I said, "I don't know that I can do this." And I didn't hear him audibly, but in that still small voice, you could almost hear him say, "Matthew, do you trust me?" I'm like, "Lord, that's an odd question. Of course I trust you." You ever try to convince God of something? So, "Lord, I've trusted you in many things, in many areas of my life. I trusted you on who I ought to marry." She didn't believe it at the time, but I did. I got to tell Pastor just a fraction of that story. First day I met her, I said, "I'm going to marry that girl." I never said a word to her. She didn't know I existed. I said, "I'm going to marry that girl." It took me a little over 2 years to convince her of this, that it was the Lord's will. I said, "Lord, I trusted you on who I ought to marry. Lord, I trusted you after we got married in Knoxville that it was the Lord's will for us to move to South Carolina. Lord, I trusted you after we moved to South Carolina that after 5 years that it was the Lord's will for us to move to Ohio to go on staff there, work in the school and the church and all these things." So, "Lord, I trust you." And then he's like, "You trust in a lot of things, don't you? For instance, and this is the way the Lord showed me. I'm a very simple person, so I have to explain what the Lord does to me in very simple terms. All of us in here are putting our trust in a lot of things right at this moment. You're putting your trust in those pews to hold you. How many in here honestly thought when they sat down, "Man, I hope this thing holds"? Probably none of us. You know what? We're trusting that this ceiling is going to stay up the whole time we're in here. You know what? Most of us probably rode in a vehicle here. We put our trust in those vehicles that the brake lines were good. We put our trust in all the steering linkage that it was going to do what we asked it to do. You see, the Lord had to bring to my mind that I put a lot of trust into a lot of inanimate objects every day without even thinking about it. Never once give it a thought. And I said, "Lord, I trust you so much that I trust that when my time on this earth is over, that I'm going to spend eternity in heaven with you." Doesn't get any more trust than that. And then again, in that still small voice, it's like, "Matt, you trust me with your eternity. Do you trust me with Africa? You have no problem trusting me with your eternity. How about the here and now?" See, many of us in here don't have a problem trusting the Lord with where we're going to go when we die. But sometimes We try to hold back that trust when he's asking us to do something while we're here on earth. Do you trust him? Do we trust him? The Bible says here in Psalm 37, it says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." So the first word that I came across was trust. Do I really trust him? Or do I just say I trust him? I want to show you the second word. Verse 4. This word, delight thyself also in the Lord. I love this word. I've got a new appreciation for this word. Can I give you the Womackology of how the Lord showed me what this word delight means? I'm so excited to tell you this. This word delight. I love Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Pastor mentioned Snickers. They're okay. But I love Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. And it's one of the few candies we can't get in South Africa. And you're like, why did you mention that? Follow with me. Hang with me. I'll bring this train back around. If you were to bring in 1,000 different pieces of candies, put them all over the pew, all over the floor, wherever you want to put it. But all these different kinds of candies from all over the world. And you put one Reese's Peanut Butter Cup in the middle. Guess which one I'm going for? That Reese's. I don't care about everything else. Nothing else tastes as good to me. Nothing else matters. You want to know why I choose that Reese's? Because I've tasted it and I know that it's delicious. I know it will satisfy my sweet tooth. I know it's partially healthy for you. That's what I told my doctor anyway. But I choose that Reese's because I've tasted it, and I've tasted a few other things, and nothing compares to it. Can I reel that back in and look at this verse in light of the Lord? He says, what does he say to delight in? He says, delight thyself also in the Lord. So what does that look like when I delight in the Lord? How does that look? It looks a little bit like this, how the Lord showed me. You know what? I've tried a lot of things in this world. I am only 33 years old and I've done a lot of things. I've had a lot of hobbies. I had a lot of interests. I had a lot of things go wrong. I've got a lot of things that I love to do. But when the Lord says, delight thyself also in the Lord, it means this. Lord, I've done all these other things. Lord, there's all these other options available to me. But Lord, I've tasted and seen that you're good. Amen. And Lord, because I've experienced your goodness, because I've felt your love, because I've been there when you've protected me. I've been there when you've been my comforter. I was there when you put your loving arms around me at the worst moment of my life. So Lord, some of these other things have got their pros, but nothing compares to you. And when we delight in the Lord, guess what? All the rest that this world has to offer us doesn't matter, because it pales in comparison to what he's done for us. So the Lord not only asked me, do you trust me? He said, do you delight in me? Do we delight in him? No doubt, many, if not all of us in this room, have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. If I was going to sit here tonight and ask for a raise of hands of people to tell me story after story how God's been good to us, I don't know that we'd leave here before midnight, if we were honest. When the Bible says, it says delight, we have to delight to where nothing else matters, but it says delight thyself. I cannot delight in the Lord for my wife. I can force my children to come to church, but I can't make them delight in the Lord. You see, this is a conscientious effort that we have to make. We're not going to delight in something we've never trusted before. You're like, well, I don't understand. You know, there's so many other fun things. Hey, I've been there. I've been the youth pastor that I've gotten the text message or the phone calls on a Wednesday afternoon and said, Brother Matt, I'm not going to be able to make it to youth group tonight because I've got a ball game. To which a simple text back would be, that must be what you delight in. You see, we're going to find a reason to do what we delight in. We're going to find a reason to do what we love. We're going to find a reason to do what we want to do. We're good at making excuses for doing what we want to do. I'm good at it. Do we delight in Him? Simple question, not as simple as an answer. If we're going to be honest with ourselves, and I'll be put myself in this group 1,000 times over, more times than I care to admit, but we probably delight in us more than we delight in Him on a daily basis. Because we love self. I love me more than you love me. It's easy to see what we truly delight in, but what we make excuses to do. I've seen it said that church should be our excuse for missing everything else. But how often does that actually play out in the lives of a Christian? I made this joke when we were back at our home church. We were there for 2 weeks for Christmas, which was the longest stint we've stayed in any one place for the past year. The kids were excited. We didn't have to pack the camper up and move every 3 or 4 days. It was great. But our first time there in church after being gone for several months I always make this joke because we walk in and there's a new member there that we'd never met before, and they come up, "Oh, are you visiting today?" And I'd be like, "Yeah, And I was like, I told the pastor, I said, if we show up, we're like normal Baptists. We show up one service every 4 to 6 months, and we got to keep our membership going good. But whatever we delight in, we're going to make an excuse to do it, and we're not going to let anything get in our way. So often, I've seen. You've seen. We can't be at church tonight. We've got this. If you're out of town, whatever. You're sick? Please stay home. Please. But we show others what we delight in by what we do. You delight in your career? It'll show. You delight in sports, that'll show. Because we'll be willing to miss anything that God's doing in His house to do whatever it is. Do we delight ourselves? Look at the promise that He makes, though. He says, if you trust in Me, if you delight in Me, I've got something for you that the world can't even imagine. Offering. Look at verse 4. He says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He, that's God, that's not me, that's not the pastor, that's not the president, that's not your governor. He says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You want to know why? How I knew that the Lord was calling me to Africa, and it wasn't just me just, you know, getting emotional about something. Pretty much anyone with a heart, they watch a missionary video or hear a missionary presentation, they're like, man, I've got to go. I've got to go now and help them. And after about 2 or 3 days, you're like, okay, that was just me being emotional. I will help them get there, pray for them, whatever the case is. I knew the Lord had given me a desire. When all the other things I desired before didn't matter to me. I'm not up here saying I'm the perfect Christian. You should watch me in all aspects. Please don't. You look long enough, you'll find enough faults. But I can tell you what's true in my life. The moment I delighted in Him for my future, He gave me a desire. Can I tell you this? He gave me a desire and a burden for a place I've never been and for a people I've never met. We were in deputation for 7 months before ever going to the continent of Africa. When you know it's the Lord's will, you know it. But once we got there, we took all three of our children with us. We wanted them to see the place. We wanted them to have a burden for the people. To say it blessed our hearts and also put us in an awkward position. A couple days before we left, we had to get COVID tested before we flew. Got up on a Monday morning to go get tested. We got up early, 6 o'clock, to go get tested because we had other things we had to do. As we're driving, the kids started to ask, where are we going so early? Told them, we got to go get COVID tested so we can get our flights back home. And Eason's back there pondering. He's like, so if we don't get tested, we can't leave? I said, yes. If we don't get tested or if we fail the test, we can't leave. So he and Savannah, for the next 10 minutes, decided they were going to see how they could fail the COVID test so we couldn't leave Africa. Which honestly did our hearts good. Because knowing that the Lord put a sliver of what he gave us into their hearts. See, when the Lord gives us a desire that only he would put there, there's no mistaking it. I can tell you this, 2 to 3 years ago, if you would have said, you know what, at the beginning of 2022, you're going to be on deputation. You would have been on deputation for a year. You would have over 65% of your support, and you're heading to South Africa. I'd have told you were crazy. I'd have told you you were nuts. But he says, he gave us this promise. He said, if you delight in me, I'm going to give you a desire. And it's going to be the crazy, one, maybe the craziest thing you could think of. But this is what I have for you. You see, and we're going to get into the last verse here. See, I could trust in the Lord all I want. I could delight in Him so much that He gives me a desire. If the Lord gave me a desire for South Africa and all I did was ignore it, would it have mattered? You see, just trusting in the Lord and just delighting in Him, when we receive His desires, it doesn't end there. That's not the end game. Look in verse 5. Look at the first word, and this is the, look at the very first word. It says this, commit. And this is the third word that God gave me. He said, trust, delight, and commit. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord. You ever teach your kid how to swim? We've taught our kids how to swim. My wife has taught them how to swim. I can swim to survive, and that's about it. My wife has taught our kids to swim, but just, I've heard many horror stories. We want them to know how to swim in case something happens. My boys, we would take them to the pool, set them on the edge, and I'd get down in there and say, jump to me. My boys, they had no fear. They just run and jump in, and I'm like, where are they at? You know, it scared us half to death. Savannah, on the other hand, the very first time I got her there, I'd be down saying, come on, Savannah, jump to daddy. She, 1 or 2 years old, I didn't know. And she'd be up there like, oh, scared. She's never done this before. She don't know what that big, giant bathtub is. She's scared. So start walking back over here. Eventually, maybe with some help from mama from behind, she'd jump in the first time. And daddy, like we should do, we catch them. Once they realize that they're okay, you push them back over to the ladder, they'll climb up the ladder, they'll come back over to where you are, and they'll say, and I'll say, all right, Savannah, come on. And she'd be a little less hesitant, and then she'd jump in. Then I'd throw her up the ladder, she'd come back up, and every time she went and came around, it got a little easier and a little easier and a little easier. To the point where she'd come up and around and hop in and I'm not even looking. I haven't even had time to turn around yet. Why was she able to do that? Because she experienced that daddy was going to do what he said he would do. And after a little bit of experience, she had no problem trusting daddy. You see, many of us in our lives, we've trusted the Lord. We've delighted in Him to where... things of this world don't matter. Lord, whatever you want me to do, that's what I want. You have my best interest in mind. I've experienced your love and your grace and your forgiveness. I've experienced all these things, and it's so much better than this world has to offer. And you've given me this desire, and now I'm standing at the edge of this pool, but I have to make a commitment to him. Am I going to obey? See, just getting the desire is not enough. We've got to actually commit to doing it. He says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Hey, if he gives us desires and we're like, too scary, I'm going to go back this way. He says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Hey, you know what? Lord, I've asked you to do something scary in your life. It just scared you to death. I've been scared numerous times. I'm not going to lie. You know what I found comforting? Look at the end of verse 5. Look at verse 5 just in general. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. Look at the last phrase. And he shall bring it to pass. So you're telling me, if I trust, if I delight in you, and I'm willing to commit my way unto you, then you're going to bring whatever to pass that you want to pass. You see, God's not looking for somebody that is uber talented. Hello? He's not. He's just looking for someone that is willing to take that leap of faith and say, Lord, I'm committing. It's scary. I've never done this before. But I'm going to commit to it. He says, if you do it, I will bring it to pass. Whatever it is that I want accomplished. Just like that little boy in John chapter 6. Hey, Andrew, I can't feed everybody, but Jesus can have it. See what he can do with it. We may not think we have much. Lord, what do I have to offer? What does the Womack family have to offer South Africa? I don't know all 11. I know one of their 11 national languages, and that's English. In our city, there's three other national languages that are prominent. One of them is one of the four languages in the world that have click sounds. Or what is the Womack family going to do? What can we offer to those people? There in that Psalm, verse 16, the Bible says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Lord, I don't have much talent to bring to the table. And the Lord's sitting there like, well, good. Then you won't get credit for it, I will. Yes. I'm not asking for the uber talented. I'm looking for someone that's willing to commit. In verse 5 where he says, and he shall bring it to pass. I'm glad it's up to him. The results are up to him. We're just told to give the word, to give the gospel, to be a light. But he's going to bring it to pass. We can plant and we can water all we want, but only God can give the increase. And he's going to bring to pass what he wants to bring to pass. But maybe I'm scared that I'll fail. Join the club. The psalmist takes care of that too. Look with me in verse 23 of Psalm 37. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, not if he falls, but when, though he fall. He says this, he shall not be utterly cast down. Well, why? Look at that. The end of verse 24, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Hey, you know what? I can take this leap of faith, though it scares me, though I've never done something like this before, because I know when I jump in, when I commit to him, if I do something wrong, he's there holding me to pull me right back up. And I'm done here with this last verse. The psalmist says, verse 25, I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You think God's going to take care of you?
Amen. Yes.
Do we trust Him enough? Telling Pastor and some of his family members this afternoon, we didn't get the memo that missionaries, when they first started out, normally worked their job until they were up to 20 or 30% of their support to go full-time and such. We thought, if the Lord's called us to do it, we're just rolling. December 31st of 2020, we resigned all of our positions in Carrollton. January 1st, we started full-time. We had sold everything, bought a truck and a camper, and if it didn't fit in one of those two, we don't own it. We started deputation, a little bit of money in the bank, not much, and less than 2% of our support, which at the time wasn't enough to fill the truck up with fuel once. You can see I've not missed a meal. We've not missed any payments. And I could sit here for hours telling you how God's taken care of us, provided for a need before we knew we even had one. I am not the poster child for trusting, delighting, and committing. But I can tell you from my experience, when we're willing to commit to Him, He's good at His word, and He's going to bring it to pass. As scary and daunting as it may feel, I'll take care of you, but you've got to trust me first. You've got to delight in me first, and you've got to commit your ways to mine. Do we trust Him? Do we delight in Him? And have we taken that leap of faith to commit our ways to Him, trusting Him that He's going to bring whatever He wants done to pass?